Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
A lot of people have said there are people now dying of the swine flu who are in good health. By whose standards? Hospitals serve Jell-O.
Robert Scott Bell.
Food advertising. You know the people. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness in a can.
Robert Scott Bell.
Dr. Agus argues that the fountain of youth is attainable if everyone were to take statin drugs.
Excuse me?
It sounds completely, completely insane.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
From the Institute for a Pure and Applied Knowledge, it's known as IPAC. There's some great articles that have been published recently, some in the peer-reviewed literature as well. And I've been wanting to get this guy on for a while, and we're going to talk some of the philosophy of science, legitimate science, and what is illegitimate in terms of science, scientism, sci-fiantism versus real science and scientists. James Lyons Weiler is on with me now. Dr. Lyons is a research scientist and author of three books, the latest of which is The Environmental and Genetic Causes of Autism. He's available for speaking engagements and all that. And I called him, Super Doc called him, and he's here with us, James. Dr. James.
Hey, Robert, thanks for having me. Super Doc, thanks for having me. You guys are great.
Dude, I am so glad to get you on board. And I just want to actually start by asking you, you know, how did you get into stepping into these controversies? Because the moment you question anything about the vaccine dogma, religion, or otherwise, and you could be 100% as you are rooted in science and referring to the peer-reviewed scientific literature, you're going to catch you know what. So why did you even think you could do this or should do this?
Well, you know, I've told this story probably about 40 times since 2015. There's an article that I wrote on my blog at jameslyonsweiler.com called My Journey into Ignorance. It was an article that was suggested by Mary Holland. Basically, Robert, what I decided to do was when I was writing my second book, Cures versus Profits, was to remain objective about every topic I chose. I wrote 16 chapters on many things in biomedicine. And when it came to vaccines, I naively added this chapter thinking, wow, I can just write how they're safe and effective and everything's hunky-dory, only to put my hand into, you know, the engine, ingested into an engine of the 747, it seems. But I stuck to it, and when I found Brian Hooker's transcripts with William Thompson, and when I went and I looked at the vaccine safety science that William Thompson referred to when he said that they have a screening panel that sanitizes all of the vaccine safety science that comes out of CDC, that's what really got my attention. So I went and I evaluated all the studies. They're underpowered. They don't test the hypothesis that they claim to. They're underpowered, meaning that they're too small to test the hypothesis that they're claiming to. And many times they don't even test the hypothesis that they're claiming to. And they're all observational studies. So I found in 2014, about November, December, that I was dissatisfied with the state of vaccine safety science. And then I interviewed Brian Hooker. And he said, you know, there's a documentary coming out on that William Thompson stuff. I said, really? So that's when I first heard about Vaxxed. Mm-hmm. And I had finished my chapter and sent it in, and the book came out. And, of course, because it's objective and critical vaccine safety science, it's not the bestseller that I hoped it would be. But nevertheless, the short answer is the way that I stepped into this was I remained an objective scientist.
Mm. And that goes to the heart of this article I want to show everybody, and we've got it linked in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. It'll take you to jameslyonsweiler.com. And this article, it says, what the public should expect from legitimate scientist. And it's an interesting term, legitimate, you know, because who gets to declare legitimacy or who delegitimizes? And, you know, I've been accused of being anti-science as well as a homeopath. Just, you know, oh, homeopathy, that's not science. It's like, wait a second. It's based ultimately on observation and questioning and duplicating what you find and observe that's interesting and intriguing. And, of course, that's the basis of science. I know there are a lot more, there's more intrigue and maybe more words I could use there that are bigger. But, James, in this article, it really spells it out, what we should be expecting, what's not happening.
Right, right. So this article touches on the public peer review phase of science. If I publish a research article, there are many stages of peer review. Oftentimes, there's the first initial stage of peer review where I'm applying for funding. And so I've sat on and served on NIH grant panels, many of them. I've helped write papers that the NIH has published and calling for proposals. And so serving on these panels that we, you know, we get a stack of proposals and we read the research proposals and we look them over and we say, this one looks, you know, like it's testing the hypothesis correctly. This one's not feasible, whatever. And then we debate it, and somehow this committee comes up with the prioritized research to fund at the NIH. Then, of course, once the funding is awarded, then the science is conducted and the data go into a research paper. The research paper is supposed to be subjected to a journal that conducts a thorough, anonymous peer review. And I've been a defender of the public's interest in science even before people became aware of who I am and what I do. I created a journal called Cancer Informatics while I was at the University of Pittsburgh. And someone was pretty upset that I created a journal, and they tried to tank the journal by contaminating the review process. They contacted, went around my back after I invited them to the editorial board and contacted the publisher and said, listen, I can save you all the problem of organizing this anonymous peer review, and we'll just have people, why don't you just have people submit their paper and their friends can submit the peer review at the same time. Okay. And I actually led a revolt of, I took half of the editorial board with me and I said, we're going to resign if you bastardize the peer review process and make it so that you know who your peer reviewer is, that you can do a quid pro quo with them. I owe you one, you reviewed mine, and so on. It's supposed to be anonymous and therefore increases the unbiasedness of the science that gets done. And the publisher, to his credit, decided to stick with me and keep the journal process in place that I had established. I was the founding editor-in-chief of Cancer Informatics. But nevertheless, you know, moving on in my career and so on, I find myself in 2014 conducting research outside of the university simply because the provost, I'm sorry, the chancellor of the university was on his way out, and a new chancellor was coming in, and he was the former director of the National Institutes of Standard and Technology. And you would think, wow, this guy's going to love what I've set up here at the university. I have an objective bioinformatics analysis core. We've done over 100 studies. And instead, what he did is he found my supercomputer, found all my toys, and gave my staff, I had a budget of $650,000. He found that it was more convenient for him to let us go and put his own people in our place.
Wow.
And so in 2014, that's when I was kind of freed of the shackles, if you will, of being associated with the university. I now look at it like, why would I ever want to go back there?
Right. You're free. I've talked to doctors who relinquish their licenses and suddenly find their freedom, interestingly enough.
And very, very similar.
And so what you're revealing is another angle on what some people have called sham peer review, that the whole process is rife with corruption, and it doesn't lead to what, if you really invested in the scientific method, or even if you were to modify it, propose modifications, I mean, it just completely abandons it altogether to provide a pathway to create artificially a reality that accepts certain economic interests that are superior to or more important than actual legitimate scientific inquiry.
Yeah, you nailed it. So this What the Public Should Expect from Legitimate Scientist article, I was reacting to the fact that there's a cabal of a very small number of people who've taken it upon themselves to identify any publication, a peer-reviewed research article that sheds any negative light on vaccines, and they put it under a microscope, and they act as though they are doing it in the public's interest to try to act to have this paper retracted or this study retracted. And I've actually seen it now enough times to know, and if I had authors, I've been pulled into this to try to defend these papers, these studies. If they're worth defending, I do. If they're not worth defending, I don't. And the fact is that it's about three or four people that are, you know, whipping up activities like a bunch of sharks or something going around trying to hunt these things. But it's really just a beached whale that's the loudest mouth on this, and he's done it time and time again. He thinks he's anonymous. Everybody knows who he is. And he goes by the name of Orak, but I've renamed him Orca in my blog articles because he's kind of bloated, and it's like playing intellectual badminton with him to try to, you know, outsmart him because he's not all that intelligent, I find. And I mean that as like an objective assessment of my adversary, yeah, because they've attacked me on the studies that I've published on aluminum. And we'll get into that. But this particular article goes into what the public should really expect when it comes to retraction. If there's a bias group of people that go around retracting scientific evidence, whether it's a finding that shows a problem or doesn't show a problem or shows that a drug works or doesn't show that a drug works, this activity of retracting articles because someone disagrees with the conclusion and then makes a big deal out of, it's only a correlation, will imbue a bias in the publication record. And there, 10 years from now, when somebody looks back at the publication record, it'll skew the meta-analyses. Mm-hmm. It'll skew the HHS's ability to do an objective evaluation should they ever start reporting back to Congress every 2 years like they're supposed to. And so this is actually a systemic book burning in my view. We need to leave it alone. It's enough to, if I've done something wrong in a study, and I'll admit I've done something wrong in a study, then I'll publish an erratum. It's a new publication. It's a short one that says on page 153, it should read P is equal to 0.025 instead of 0.05 or whatever. But it's not worthy of a retraction, and we need to call them out as the book burners that they are. It's a perfect analogy.
So what would you say to someone who says science is self-correcting in this environment?
Science is self-correcting in this environment in the long run anyway, because if the studies don't replicate, what these people are, they're armchair scientists. They shouldn't just sit there with a computer and complain about that they don't like this study or like that study. And if it's the same three people doing it, they should get off their butt and go out and do some science and try to replicate it. And don't do this nonsense. Get the data, analyze the data, get some other data, analyze the data. And there's, you know, a recent example here was Dr. Gail DeLong's study. She did a really good job identifying, a correlation. And she identified it as a correlation, which limits the causality inference to more science is needed. Mm-hmm. But she found that there was a correlation between HPV use in the United States and in
the vaccine.
Yeah, HPV vaccine.
Right.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
We reported on that study as well here, and obviously there's anecdotal reports after anecdotal report in terms of poor health outcomes from one, much less three of these shots, to the point where we've said they've revised their suggestion down, we said it takes three. No, it takes two. No, we can do it with one. And it's like, it seems to be no one's coming back after the first one because the adverse events are so intense that.
Exactly.
Well, how do we get them to accept even one? We just change. I mean, it's like, it's so obviously not scientific when they do this.
Exactly. And that happened over the past just year and a half when they ratcheted down from three doses to two to one. It was very rapid. But, you know, there was one criticism of Dr. DeLong's study that looked at correlations in other countries, which is appropriate, but they only used three. Mm-hmm. So these three countries versus the United States. Well, what if there's something different about the United States? What if there's something unique about the United States for some reason, and we find a correlation, say, in Canada and the United States, but not in the countries that the other person looked in? And so there are some worthy adversaries out there, so to speak, and science is not adversarial by nature. It shouldn't be. It should be creative. The scientists in a healthy community would co-create knowledge, mm-hmm. and that's the purpose of science. I think the public should expect that retraction of vaccine safety science is an illegitimate exercise, because in the long run, replication will bear out whether or not
sure.
we see a problem.
Well, that self-correcting mechanism, again, when there is transparency, when you can actually review and review and review. And in terms of the criticism of correlation is not causation, what does correlation do? It should lead to further inquiry. This is where Dr. Andrew Wakefield pointed out a correlation in his study that everybody, you know, vilified, or everybody, those that had this vaccine interest in, and said he claimed something he didn't. They set up a straw man argument. He observed something, reported on the observations, and said maybe further study is warranted. And suddenly it's like, well, we better shut that down, because if that further study leads where we know it'll lead, that'll destroy our whole reason for being in terms of the economic or other nefarious schemes associated with vaccines without question, without inquiry, without legitimate scientific endeavor.
And I want to add, it's not Dr. Gail DeLong's fault that there's no randomized prospective clinical trial with long-term outcomes either. The absence of the type of study, the true experiment that would let us know causality, is not her fault. And it's the same thing with Dr. Seneff. People have criticized Dr. Seneff on the correlation between glyphosate and autism, and, you know, as if saying, well, all she's doing is correlation. It's it's not my fault that there's no actual studies that are done that show causality one way or the other. It's by design to use just observational data correlation so they can say, well, maybe it's something else, because we can't really say causality. Sure. And because it's by design, it's part of the denialist agenda on vaccine injury, and it's illegitimate.
Well said. Vaccine injury denialism is a very dangerous presence right now in the so-called scientific community or medical community, because it's leading to shutting down of any communication on a very, very important subject in terms of public health, which I define as each individual's health within the public, ultimately, because it's a collectivist ideal, if not. And then, of course, they're willing to sacrifice you or me or my child on the ash heap of collectivism, which is dangerous for everybody. We call that communism. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got James Lyons Weiler here, PhD, brilliant man, and well communicated here. I'm telling you, for a PhD, I understand every word you're saying. That's an accomplishment, my friend.
Thank you.
Your communication skills are now legendary. We've got links in the show notes, as you can see right here on the screen, to his personal website. He's also got another site called UnbreakingScience.com. There are a lot of audio MP3 kind of podcasts as well. There's YouTubes as well. And his book, Cures versus Profits, where you will learn a lot about what would be legitimate science. Would that be allowed to percolate to the surface and be covered fairly by the media, medical or otherwise? And it's what we try to do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So, James, man, thanks for being here, man. Can you tell I'm stoked today having you on? This has been great already.
Yeah, every time we have a new peer-reviewed article, I think I'll be coming back and sharing, because you're a great interviewer, so thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no, keep me on the loop on that. If I miss it, I want to be up with you on it, so we're having some fun here. So, again, we have in the links in the show notes links to you and some of these articles that we've been talking about as well. There was one about a spy versus spy hit piece on IPAC, and we talked about the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge and the science that was conducted to reveal that the entire vaccine schedule promoted by the CDC in America, claiming safety for the amount of aluminum injected into infants or children, was based on what exactly?
Right. So the spy versus spy article is actually a reporter that came down to the VI event in Washington into the VIP event, and he was walking around asking people questions, and they thought that they had gotten a gotcha on me and other people, including Del Bigtree, for saying things that we say out in the open. We're screaming for, it's really funny for CBC to try to get us for saying things when we're standing on top of the mountain screaming at the top of our lungs. Yeah. Hey, we're hurting kids here.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Longtime listeners to the Robert Scott Bell Show know how important it is to detoxify their bodies, much less prevent the toxins from getting in the first place. One of my favorite ways to do it is through drinking Echo Water. The molecular hydrogen we get, go to robertswater.com. Paul Baratero from Synergy Science is back with us with an update.
Absolutely. We definitely have amazing filtration, removing all the chlorine, chloramines, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, VOCs, all the types of things you should be concerned about being in your drinking water. We can even get rid of fluoride. We have a separate filter that removes fluoride so that you don't have to worry about that in your water. So remove those before they get in your body so you don't have to worry about getting rid of them once they're in your body.
And in addition, the advancements with the Echo 9 Ultra H2 available to you, as well as the economical unit pH neutral NHM 130 available. And now whole house water filtration available through Synergy Science. Check it out, synergyscience.com, 800-337-7017. Special deals for Robert Scott Bell Show listeners.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Joe Biden, for the first time, addressed criticism from Senator Bernie Sanders' camp over the former vice president's record on Social Security. Biden criticized the Sanders campaign for pushing a video that he describes as doctored that appears to show Biden agreeing with former Republican Speaker of the House Paul Ryan's stance on privatizing the program.
Well, there's a little doctored video going around put out by one of Bernie's people saying that I agreed with Paul Ryan about wanting to privatize Social Security. They doctored the photo. They doctored the piece. And it's acknowledged that it's a fake.
Biden noted that PolitiFact determined the video takes his comments out of context. But PolitiFact has answered by stating it is worth noting that despite Biden's repeated use of the words doctored and faked, the video is neither. This is USA Radio News.
We're already into a new year. And according to TransUnion's annual consumer credit forecast, the consumer credit market looks strong. Matt Comos, TransUnion's Vice President of Research and Consulting.
The U.S. consumer is as strong as ever, and we expect more of the same this year. More consumers are securing loans and increasing their balances in a measured way, all while maintaining historically low delinquency rates. Low unemployment rates, continued wage growth, and an overall sound economy are making this positive performance hold true.
Are there trends to watch for this year?
TransUnion's trends to watch are credit card performance staying strong, personal loans stabilizing, auto lenders continuing at a steady pace, and first-time homebuyers leading mortgage activity.
The U.S. consumer credit market has grown every year since the Great Recession in 2009, marking one of the longest economic expansions in U.S. history. There's more at TransUnion.com. That's TransUnion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
But they're trying to characterize it as we're profiteers trying to make money off of people's fears over vaccines, when in reality I'm nothing but an objective scientist. So people can read that article for itself. But the aluminum study that got published, and why they're coming after me so hard, is the two aluminum studies, actually. The first was in 2018, and it was a reconsideration of the basis of why the FDA says aluminum vaccine is safe, why the CDC says it. And we searched high and low, Robert, throughout all the scientific literature to try to find a pediatric dose limit for aluminum. How does FDA regulate it? We studied all of the studies that were done, how they came about, the logic that they used. There wasn't a single study. There's not a single pediatric dose limit for aluminum associated with the CDC schedule. The dosing is done on the schedule. The regulation is done at 850 micrograms per dose. Not per kilogram or per day, but per dose. So it doesn't consider body weight, and it doesn't consider the duration or how long it's been since you've had an aluminum adjuvanted vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And because we couldn't find one, the only one that we found was 4 to 5 micrograms per kilogram per day if you have renal impairment. Well, children in the NICU, babies in the NICU, have renal impairment almost universally. And they allow vaccination with hepatitis B with 250 micrograms of aluminum if the children in the NICU are 2 kilograms or greater. Well, 2 kilograms, that's an adult male rat. That's the size of an adult male rat. So when I realized that from that reference point, I said, oh, my God, we're blowing these kids up. We are absolutely blowing these kids up. Our bodies, rats' bodies, mammalian body has to deal with 100% of the aluminum that's injected. We don't call that absorption. We call it metabolic availability. It has to be cleaned up. It has to be removed, detoxified, and so on. And so we asked the question in 2018, what would a pediatric dose limit look like? And since the FDA does have a stated regulation that a vaccine should not contain more than 850 micrograms if it's measured one way, 1150 micrograms if it's measured another, we simply took 850 micrograms and scaled it down, considering the allometric, that's a big word, but it means considering the volume and the weight change differences between infants and adults.
Mm-hmm.
So if you assume that an adult getting an 850 microgram of aluminum is safe, and then what does it look like? And well, there's a rule called Clark's rule that allows us to do this scaling. It's what they use when you have a good body of science on the regulation of dose limits for adults, but you don't have it for children for drugs. And so we did this allometric scaling, and we found that on the first day of life, an infant may be safe at 14.5, a fully grown, you know, infant, a full-term infant, may be safe at 14.5 micrograms in a dose, if that's the only thing that happens that day. And, of course, on that day, they get 250 micrograms in hepatitis B. So right there, we know that we're over. And so we, in 2018, we published a study, and we showed that the doses are much, much too high, but we didn't really quantify how often they violate or how long the duration. And so the best that we could say in 2018 was that aluminum induces repeated rounds of acute toxicity. So every time you get a shot, up say to the age of 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're going above this pediatric dose limit.
Well, and James, if I may ask about that pediatric dose limit, was it based on ingested, injected, intramuscular, intravenous? I mean, how did they determine it?
So the one that we're talking about is the one that we published. IPAC is the only organization that's published a pediatric dose limit for aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
The other provenance of information on the studies that were used by FDA and the World Health Organization were oral doses of aluminum fed to adult mice, not injected doses of aluminum injected into infant mice. There's never been any study of injected doses of aluminum in infant mice for safety.
So they were claiming pediatric safety based on oral ingestion of mice, and that was translating into human injection?
That's right. They used a process we call transmogrification, where they have, you know, made transmogrify. That's a good word that our people need to start using.
Yeah.
They took the available science on oral doses, and there are multiple studies that show that there are problems with oral doses. If you have the slides, then you're showing the slide that I have on the histogram. Then the oral doses, there are many studies that show problems. They chose one study called the Golub study. And that Golub study, they claimed to not have any problems with irregular feed, but there actually were irregular feeding cycle problems.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other studies at much, much lower doses of oral that showed serious problems.
All right, well, let me make sure I've got the right thing now. One of the slides I have up, I'm just going to put up right now, is the 2018 study that you published, Reconsideration of the Immunotherapeutic Pediatric Safe Dose Levels of Aluminum. And then I see it's side by side with a 2020 article. Here we are, and just entered 2020, says, acute exposure and chronic retention of aluminum in three vaccine schedules and effects of genetic and environmental variation. So set the stage, because I know you were referencing the 2018 article.
Yeah, the 2018 article was very, very straightforward. These are peer-reviewed publications, and that's the one where we established the pediatric dose limit, and we showed that there's excesses. And the 2020 article was a revisitation to try to determine, from our point of view, how often and what's the chronic exposure. And when we look at the CDC schedule compared to Dr. Paul Thomas's vaccine-friendly plan, and, we found that in the 2020 study, which is coming out in March, mm-hmm. It's funny that they say 2020 is coming out. It's already published online. It's going to be in print in March. We found that infants on the CDC schedule can be expected to be in aluminum toxicity 70% of their days in the first 7 months of life. And there's a histogram you can show on a slide there.
Yeah, which slide am I looking for here? I just want to make sure I put
You're
it
looking
right
for the two histograms side by side.
Okay.
The two with the 70% versus the 5%.
Okay. I've got some crazy good slides here, and I don't know if I'm grabbing the right one as you describe it. Right now, I see a minimum aluminum dose ingested, Golub et al. As the first bar. Second one is Chow et al.
So leave that up. I'll just talk about that one because I can't really see what you're showing. So the Golub et al. Study is the one that they cherry-picked. That's the one that they said there is one study that shows that there's no problems with a particular oral dose of aluminum that they then transmogrified somehow magically into some kind of estimate of what happens when you inject aluminum. It's a different form of aluminum. We're talking about adult mice compared to infant children. So many problems with that. And that slide right there shows all of the other problems that we see with aluminum. And if you read, if you could see it enough to read it, you take a look, take a moment and read out loud, because I can't see which slide you have up, what the problems are.
Well, under at lower dosages, they're showing evidently learning and memory impairment. That's Bill K. Gorzo from 93. Impaired spatial learning, that was from 2009. Neurotoxicity was from 2008, a study. Impaired kidney function, renal function in 2016 by Dara. I don't even know what this Purkinje fiber cell death injury to cerebellum, that was in 2017, and brain inflammation, learning, and memory impairment. And again, these are all showing at lower levels than the first two you referenced.
Right, the Golub study. And so they actually cherry-picked the science, which is what I'm saying. If you bias the science either, by having things retracted or just ignore it. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they were looking for an excuse to go ahead and write themselves a permission slip for these adjuvanted aluminum adjuvanted vaccines as they expanded the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And another slide that you want to show them is the slide that shows the 70% aluminum toxicity in 7 months of life in the CDC schedule compared to Dr. Paul Thomas's schedule, which is 5% of the days during the first 7 months of life.
Yeah, I believe I have that up now. CDC 2019 schedule.
Right.
In black, the bar you see 70%. Then there's a yellow and a green referencing a modified CDC schedule and the vaccine friendly plan in terms of, I guess, aluminum excess or exposure.
Yeah, that's right. So we're looking at, the problem is chronic. Those are long periods of time where the aluminum stays in the body. And see, when you inject aluminum, two things happen. The first thing that happens is transferrin, 80% of the aluminum gets picked up by transferrin, and it takes the place of iron. So the iron from your diet that you're used to make red blood cells is supposed to be connected to transferrin to get to the red blood cells. When the aluminum is injected, the first thing that you see is that it eats up all the transferrin. It keeps it busy. And so that aluminum goes to the bone. But then the aluminum that's in the bone can come back out, but also the remaining aluminum, right, is then leached out over time. And that's a long-term exposure. So we looked at there's a clearance model where they actually took citrinated forms of aluminum and they injected radioactive forms of aluminum into volunteers when that kind of thing used to be, I guess, okay. And they measured over time how much aluminum actually left the body. That's the PREAST model. Mm-hmm. So that was, now that we have published a pediatric dose limit in 2018, we use the PREAST model to see what happens with successive doses of clearance to try to determine how often these kids are going to be in aluminum toxicity according to our estimate of the pediatric dose limit. Now, the co-authors on this are Elaine Lazzarlie and Grant McFarlane and Paul Thomas, Dr. Paul Thomas. And what we're doing here is we're comparing schedules. And so we have, you'll see there's three bars there. We have the CDC schedule, which is 70% toxicity in the first 7 months of life, and then an intermediate schedule where we drop out the aluminum-containing vaccines, pretending like we could swap out aluminum for non-aluminum-containing vaccines, but we leave all the vaccines on the schedule. And then the third one is Dr. Paul's schedule, where he does swap out one of the aluminum-containing vaccines for a non-aluminum-containing vaccine, and then he skips some vaccines. So we're down to 5% of the days. And he thinks it's too much. I still think it's too much. We don't need aluminum in the human body. It serves no physiological process. Unlike Dr. Paul Offit, who said rather stupidly, in my view, that aluminum must be a nutrient because mothers who have preterm babies have higher aluminum.
What?
Yeah. Because
what kind of numbnut statement is that?
It must be a nutrient during fetal development because there's higher blood levels in neonates that are born early. Preterm.
That seems to just make no sense at all unless you're promoting less optimal pregnancies.
Right, exactly. So you understand what the problem with that logic is. It's a twist around, and he's got it exactly backwards.
It's bizarre. That is so bizarre. Now, yeah. James, I think the one that I was having trouble with, because you said there was a layover, I think in my translation from your PowerPoint to this, it's only showing the one overlaid as far as the chart of genetic risk models. So okay. We'll have to describe it the best way we can, not seeing the previous slide or the underlying slide that you went over with the secondary part.
Okay.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
CancerTutor.com is at the forefront of research, education, and guidance for people battling cancer. We've partnered with renowned doctors and clinics throughout the world to educate and empower people with the truth about all cancer treatment options, from traditional to natural and integrative protocols. Cancer is not a death sentence, but is instead an invitation to life change. And CancerTutor.com is committed to walking with you, helping you find your path as you begin your unique journey of healing. Your cancer journey is personal, so CancerTutor.com is personalized for you, providing access to the latest curated information on groundbreaking research and treatments, including ebooks, recipes, doctor interviews, and more. Natural medicine is no longer the alternative. It is the first and best option for restoring your health, and Cancer Tutor is leading this movement. Reclaim your right to treat your cancer on your terms at CancerTutor.com.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores.
Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Scott Bell Show.
My wife, chronic inflammatory diseases, female-specific disease. Now, if that was genetic, where was that in my ancestral line through my mother and father, which they never saw this? And I asked him what it was like.
They never saw this because they were in a different environment.
Right, and then my wife's case, same thing. This was not part of it. Guess what? If this were genetic, what would I expect of my kids? Well, they should have all these chronic diseases, ailments, illnesses, similar to what I had, what my wife had. And turns out, we did not vaccinate them, not even once. Zero vaccinations. No chronic issues, no sinus issues, no skin issues. None of the things that she and I both were subjected to. And my wife had a bigger vaccine schedule because she was a civilian military brat, so she was hammered worse than I was. Mm. We had to undo a lot of that damage just to have children, talk about fertility issues, etc. So, I realize that's just an observation of two children in one family, but this is also what we saw revealed in the People's Truth, Vax 2, the recent documentary, as they discovered these families that had one or two kids that were vaccinated and very ill or even killed, that the next children were not at all, and the dramatic shift in health and the elimination of all of the things that occurred in the prior children. Again, question, genetic epidemic, autism, etc. Right. It's nonsense for them to claim
that. Same kids, same family, same environmental exposures, except for vaccines. So there's a number of survey studies that are underway right now that I know of that are looking within the family. IPAC may be doing one where we're asking you not only to answer your health questionnaire, but also to give us access to your medical records so we can verify the medical records so that we don't have that the weakness of a survey.
Right.
But, what I want to encourage people to do is to take a look at where you want to be. It's 2020. Where do we want to be in 2021? We want to be everyone in the United States has been arguing for removal of these exemptions if science has taken a turn, and I believe it has taken a turn, they will be doing smack their heads, you know, and so I'm probably going to be turning towards other toxins and trying to reduce those toxins as well. And so we're going to be creating a very large institution that will be responsible for self-avowed to do it, reporting toxic dose levels and what the limit should be for all kinds of toxins, and reporting it to government agencies. So the government scientists who say, no problem, these fluorocarbons or perfluorocarbons or whatever are safe, they have an alternative independent group of scientists. And so if you're a toxicologist and you want to be involved in that, try to look up IPAC and get a hold of me.
Well, amen, Brother James. I am so appreciative of you and your efforts and what you're doing. All those are working with you, and anything we can do here to help, well, we want to do that. As I said, toxicology is the answer to the question of why are we so sick. You look into the contribution, the corruption of the terrain, the environment, and the milieu, going back to Antoine Béchamp and those that abandoned him for the emperor's friend Louis Pasteur and the germ theory. It's always about a virus or a bacteria or fungus, not about the toxicological impact. And of course, that makes industry completely absolved of any negative contribution to the declining health and chronicity of the people of planet Earth. Again, the question is the government or agencies protecting us from those polluters, or is it protecting the polluters from us and the recourse that we should and could have once you realize that you're being poisoned, you're not being sneezed on, and that's why you're ill?
Yeah, I'm a proud anti-corporate toxin person. That's a moniker that I'll wear every day. And so, people want to find me, they can look at jamesleinsweiler.com. They can look at ipaknowledge.org. They can search my name. The first thing you find when you Google my name is former scientist, anti-vaxxer. all these ridiculous name calling. It's juvenile. Mm-hmm. It's sophomoric. It's ridiculous. And I don't have any time for it. So.
No, we cover it just to make fun of the people like Orca that pretend to be the arbiters of all scientific knowledge, but they are talking about the religion of science or scientism, or as my dearly departed friend Liam Sheff, who wrote the book Official Stories, called it sci-fiantism. And I appreciate you standing up for real science and legitimate science, and anything we can do to help here at the Robert Scott Bell Show, we want to do it.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I'd like to see Orca conduct a vaccine epidemiological study himself.
On himself.
None.
You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week on Natural News Radio. Come to robertscottbell.com. Sign up for email alerts as well as become a patron to support this message of health, freedom, and healing liberty. More. Remember, in the meantime, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Do you really want to rely on medical doctors for better health? Or would you rather know the secret to unlocking your immune system to help your body fight off disease naturally? Hey, this is RSV, and after a quarter century of healing research, I'd like to share with you my secret to optimal health. It's my immune system. It's what keeps me healthy while naturally preventing sickness. So how do I keep myself and my family from getting sick? It includes the premium supplements I get from Better Way Health, especially Transfer Points Beta-1 3D Glucan. Go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive RSB show discount today. Better Way Health only carries the highest quality supplements on the market. They're the nation's number one retailer of Transfer Point Beta-Glucan, which is an immune system supplement that outperforms top competitors 16-1. I've teamed up with Better Way Health to save big on all these natural supplements. All you need to do is go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive RSB show discount today. Again, that's betterwayhealth.com/radio.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed
Design Better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.